Have you ever asked yourself how all of this AI magic works? What are LLMs? Are there any caveats I need to be aware of when integrating AI into my workflow? Or perhaps how to determine if an LLM or a solution won't make the grade?
You're listening to Phraseology Plus AI with your hosts, Philippe Santos and Miguel Santos. I'm a digital marketing professional specializing in SEO with over 20 years of experience working for agencies, startups, and Fortune 500 companies. Miguel is a graphic designer with over 15 years in the industry. Follow us as we uncover ways to effectively use AI for online visibility, scale, and an unfair advantage against the competition. Stay updated on the latest tools, technologies, and strategies to ensure that you're always one step ahead. Without further delay, let's get into the episode.
All right. Have you ever asked yourself how all of this AI magic works? What are LLMs? Are there any caveats I need to be aware of when integrating AI into my workflow? Or perhaps how to determine if an LLM or a solution won't make the grade? In this episode, we're thrilled to welcome Federico Pasquale, the former co-founder and COO of MonkeyLearn, with over 10 years of experience in AI and SEO. Stay tuned throughout the entire episode where we'll address critical topics on how you can determine the best foot forward on generative AI quality, LLMs, use cases, and applications, along with any limitations to be aware of. Well, with his experience in leveraging AI for scalable data analysis, Federico has played a pivotal role in serving top-tier clients like Salesforce, Snapchat, Atlassian. He's also spearheaded innovative strategies, including a groundbreaking SEO playbook, which propelled MonkeyLearn to dominate Google rankings in their niche. Join us as Federico shares insights into the power of AI for SMBs and enterprises, taking us along the journey behind MonkeyLearn's acquisition by Medallia. Federico will also discuss the incredible generative AI tool that he's been developing lately, WordCrafter AI. With that, Federico, if you wanted to actually mention anything about what you're involved with now, we'd love to hear it.
Perfect. Thanks very much, Felipe. It's great to be here. Basically, I'm currently working on WordCrafter AI, a tool that tries to solve a few challenges that I had in the past while I was scaling SEO at MonkeyLearn. So at MonkeyLearn, SEO worked really well for us. Thanks to SEO, we were able to get these amazing customers that you just mentioned. For us, SEO was hard to scale. For scaling SEO, we needed to hire 4 content writers. We needed to hire an assistant. We needed to hire an editor and so on. Basically, it was hard to scale because we spent a lot of time doing mainly 2 manual processes. First of all, we spent a lot of time researching search intents, that is trying to understand and figure out why someone searches for a particular keyword on Google. So for example, in our case, a big keyword in our space was sentiment analysis, that is understanding if a piece of text is talking good or bad about something. For example, whenever someone searches for sentiment analysis on Google, they may be trying to figure out what the hell is sentiment analysis, you know, trying to understand the definition of sentiment analysis. But maybe another person is trying to do the same search, searches for sentiment analysis on Google. Maybe they are trying to figure out how it works. And maybe a third person does the same search on Google, and they're trying to understand use cases and applications. So basically, we spend a lot of time going through combing the different search results on Google, basically the top 10 results, reading the whole contents of these pages, and ask ourselves what is the main search intent that this page tries to solve and why Google is prioritizing this page. Also, we spend a lot of time trying to figure out what topics and subtopics we needed to cover to solve those search intents. Then with that information, we're able to come up with an outline, a table of contents, basically that maximize our chances to solve those search intents. And that lead us to the second part of why it was hard to scale at MonkeyLearn or SEO. That is, once you know what you need to do and what you need to write about, it's all about writing world-class content. And in our case, it was super hard because it was mainly technical things, you know, talking about things like sentiment analysis, keyword extraction, machine learning, natural language processing, and scaling that type of content was super hard and difficult. So now that I'm back to building, you know, hey, I wanted to tackle challenges and problems that I had in the past. So I remember these challenges, and it was really painful. And, you know, with the current state of AI, it's these challenges are solvable, or at least, you know, can help people working in SEO do more, you know, suffer less.
Yeah, I mean, I love that you mentioned that, because I remember finding MonkeyLearn when I was first kind of trying to figure out how to scale up clustering, right? Like some clustering of keywords, so that in a world where you have so many keywords and you need to figure out how to like quickly cluster keywords and make sense of how much they're worth to you. I remember that was one of the tools that you guys offered, and it was kind of exciting for me because it made things a lot easier than doing it through spreadsheets using a bunch of formulas that just made things very complicated.
Yeah, I mean, for example, that's a great case on our SEO. So for example, we found out that keyword word cloud was searched like, I don't know, it was like 500,000 people, something like that. You know, it was a huge keyword. We also realized that it was a super relevant keyword for us because MonkeyLearn basically was a tool for analyzing text data at scale with machine learning. And we realized that people searching for word cloud on Google were like in the first steps of the process of analyzing text. Basically, they have a piece of data, maybe a document or a PDF or something like that, and they want to throw it to a word cloud generator and, you know, see the word cloud and trying to find interesting insights. So we found this high volume keyword that is relevant in our space, and we, you know, sat down and studied the search results to try to figure out how to rank for this keyword. And basically, we found out that we needed to do something really different to what we were doing, because basically we were, for the rest of the keywords, we were creating like long form content explaining how machine learning works, how natural language processing works, what is sentiment analysis, things like that. But in this case, the search intent was completely different. Basically, when someone searched for a word cloud, they basically want to try a tool. They don't want to read a blog post. That was the main search intent. And basically what we did was basically that. We built a word cloud tool where you can upload your text data, even uploading a file or copying your text and pasting it in the tool, and get a word cloud generated with AI. And it worked wonders for us.
Question on that. So like with the word cloud, do you think it was a means of getting quick insights on their data, or do you think it was like better used for presentations? Like, what did you hear about the tool being used? Were there any interesting cases?
Were all of these, you know, all of these different use cases, you know, definitely was getting quick insights from data. It's like the first thing that people do when they try to figure out, you know, long form content, large pieces of data. But it was also used for presentations. So, for example, we heard not only about people working in businesses and working on a presentation, but we also heard about professors and teachers using the tool in their own classes to, you know, the different lessons and presentations that we're doing in school. So yeah, it's pretty like pretty varied, the use cases around that tool.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, because I remember using word clouds myself, and you never know. Sometimes it's really effective for educating, and other times you just need to know something very specific about the intent or about the class of keywords that you're going after, and that the word cloud does make it just so much more visual. And we're visual creatures, so I think that's a key point. With that point, I guess we can talk a little bit more about like how modern AI is being approached. I know AI changes by the minute. Even from last year to this year is insane. And every single month that comes is like something brand new that just basically blows up your mind. But I'd love for you to get a little bit into some of the basics of how modern AI works.
That's great. And yeah, it's pretty challenging to explain really technical concepts, but I'll give it a try. Things like ChatGPT, Gemini, all these generative AI models, basically what they do is they predict the most likely word from a given text. For example, if you give a prompt, they predict the next word after that text. And they do multiple times predicting the next word and the next word. And that's how they create sentences and paragraphs and the whole responses, by always predicting the next word. So maybe we can play a little game. So for example, I will give you a fragment of a text, and the last word I will not say to you, and you have to guess that word. Let's see how you will predict this, how you predict. So if I tell you, I love you very blank, mm-hmm. What's the word?
You're going to think much.
Exactly. Another example. Happy birthday to blank.
I would hope it's you, but...
Hopefully, yes, but that's how, you know, a large language model works. They predict the next word given a prompt, and they do multiple times to create the whole answer.
That's awesome. Those are really good, simple examples of how it works. I'm kind of intrigued by that because I've also heard of a concept called tokens. Is that what that is?
Yeah, tokens are like parts of words. You know, imagine that tokens, like a piece of content that has 100 words, it may have 1,200 tokens. You know, it's like a smaller unit that complete words.
Okay, and the speed of which like that happens, there's also like a metric, right? I think it's like tokens per second, per minute.
Yeah, that's basically to measure how performant an AI model is to generate an answer. Basically, the larger the model it is, the slower or more difficult it is to generate faster responses. And basically, big model like GPT-4 or Gemini 1.5, they need like huge amounts of compute and GPUs basically to answer quickly.
For the sake of like most people like that are not technical, that stuff doesn't really matter, right? But it's just more of like how will the user experience be measured from a technical aspect? Is that true?
Yeah, that metric, tokens per second, is important on use cases for use cases where real time is really important. So for example, imagine that you have a company and you want to start using AI to automate certain parts of your customer service, and you want to integrate AI into a chatbot that can interact with your customers. If you integrate that chatbot that generates answers like really painfully slowly, it will hurt the customer and the experience overall. So in those cases where real time is really important, you need really fast inferences, you know, really fast predictions. And you can achieve that either by using smaller models that are optimized for a particular use case, or you can use, you know, infrastructure at scale, basically.
Yeah, that's super interesting.
GPUs.
I love that because that kind of simplifies how I've seen it. It makes it a lot clearer. Because I was always wondering, like, is that just something in the background that is more technical, or does it actually have some bearing on business decisions? And clearly it sounds like it does if you're doing real-time applications.
Yeah. Yeah, and also it's like it's super important to think about, it's not always convenient to use the biggest model out there or the most performant model out there, things like GPT-4 or Gemini 1.5 or Claude 3. There are certain use cases that a smaller model trained for a particular domain and for that particular use case can achieve like really similar accuracy than a big generic model, you know? And obviously, if you have this smaller but specialized model, it's much cheaper to train, it's much cheaper to do predictions, and it's, you know, the return on investment is much better. So it really depends on what you are trying to build, what you are trying to do, what type of model you need to for your business.
Well, perfect segue, Federico. I guess we can talk about what makes these LLMs, large language models, good or bad.
Well, that's a good question, and it's like highly debatable. But in my opinion, where these large language models really shine is basically things that are super related to what these models do at the core, basically predict the next token, the next word. So for example, things like translating texts, LLMs are really good. Writing content, writing code, also large language models are really good. Summarizing text, also they are also really good. LLMs are not good on things like they don't have memory in the sense that they are not able to store new information like humans do. So, for example, if you interact with a role model, every time you interact again with a model, you renew interaction, you're basically starting this from scratch. The model will not remember you. It will not remember your preferences or your answers or who you are. Basically, what the model will do is predict the next token, the next word. That's it, you know? And it's super interesting how companies are currently, you know, trying to hack or go around that limitation of LLMs. So, for example, companies like OpenAI are basically feeding again the model previous interactions via the prompt. So the model can use that information from the next response. But it's not that the model has learned from that. Basically, what OpenAI or these companies are doing are feeding these interactions, previous interactions, via prompting.
That's fascinating. It actually even sounds a little bit inefficient.
Well, yeah, because, for example, context length, basically how much information you can add in the prompt to generate a response, is quite limited. You know, GPT 3.5, I think it was like 4,000 tokens. Claude 2 was a big breakthrough in the space because it was the first model that was able to provide like a much bigger context window, allowing up to 200,000 tokens. And a couple of weeks ago, Google announced it with Gemini 1.5 that theoretically that model is able to get context windows of, I think it was 10 million words. So yeah, you know, as this technology advances, the cost of feeding back the conversation is cheaper and possible, you know, and eventually I imagine that things like ChatGPT will be able to feed every interaction that it had historically with you. And even remember, you know, other things about you, about your life, about what you like and dislike to generate more accurate responses.
That's pretty awesome. And I think that's like kind of where we have sci-fi kind of telling us what will happen with AI, right? It's just like, it will become a little bit more sentient. It'll become a little bit more aware. Obviously, we're not there yet, but things are moving so quickly that I wouldn't be surprised if certain elements are coming together and like, sounds scary, but in reality, we just have to understand how to use it, how to wield it. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, AGI, it's a hot topic right now. You know, you have all kinds of people with all kinds of opinion there. It's like you have this group of people that say AI is really imminent, that basically we will have AGI maybe in the next year or two. Then there are other people, mainly in Silicon Valley, that they are also optimists, but not as optimist. And they say that it's probable that we'll have AGI in the next decade. And then we have a group of people that are also AI experts, AI researchers, that say, no, AI is really far away. LLMs are still basic models in the sense that they just predict the next word. And they lack things like memory. They are also, for example, another limitation of large language models is that they are not able to retrieve things to learn new concepts. So for example, like humans. So for example, imagine back in 2020 when coronavirus happened, neither of us knew what coronavirus was. And probably we heard someone mention about coronavirus and we went online and started searching for information to learn about this new thing that was happening in the world. LLMs cannot do that. They cannot search and learn from new information in the case that the model doesn't know what something is. So they cannot retrieve things. Also, large language models, currently, they cannot reason things or plan things. It's like when they start replying to you, it's not that they first think about the response, you know, reason the response and plan the response, and they then generate the response. No, they automatically predict the next word. And also for achieving AGI, many AI experts say that LLMs lack real understanding of how the physical world works. So for example, for us humans, since we are very little, we are constantly learning just by living in the physical world, you know, like having a glass of water and putting it in the table and interacting with different objects. And that's how we build our world model and how we understand model. LLMs don't do that. They basically learn from text data. Many AI researchers say that they will always be really, their understanding of the physical world and the physical laws will be very basic, very superficial, because they just learn from their text data. Obviously, there are many researchers working on that, like training models on not just data, but train models with additional types of information, things like images, video, and other type of data. Also, certain AI researchers are using embodied AI, basically giving AI a way to interact with the physical world via a robot or via a drone. So the AI model can interact with the AI world and start learning stuff. So yeah, there are multiple people trying to improve these type of things. But again, you know, AI, at least in my opinion, is still very far away because they lack memory. They don't search for, they are not able to search new information and learn from new information. They don't reason or plan, or at least they do it like very rudimentary right now. Mm-hmm. And also they don't understand the physical world. So I believe AGI is not close. But at the end of the day, with every new, that doesn't mean that AI or is not valuable nowadays. It's like, it's completely the opposite. AI is amazing. I use it every day. And basically I'm able to do much more, spending less time. And I can do, and I can automate some tedious tasks that I used to do manually. I can rely on AI to do the heavy lifting for me. So I can focus on more important things or things that I find more, I enjoy myself more spending time on those things. So definitely, you know, I feel that every marketer, every SEO, every content marketer needs to start using AI basically to do their work better and faster, focus their time on things that they enjoy and where they have a unique expertise.
So what I was getting out of that, which is pretty, like, thank you so much for that explanation, is that we should not be scared of the technology. It's not going to necessarily replace, you know, all of the, definitely a lot of roles. I think it's more about how we understand the technology and use it to become better and maybe use them as our own skills to improve our work and to also expedite like the types of projects and initiatives that we're following through with. And, you know, that's something that's very important to acknowledge and put out to the audience, is that it's really here to help us. And it's not at a point where it becomes really detrimental. It's something that we just need to learn and understand better, which is why all of these explanations actually do paint a picture of how this technology is in reality and what it's going to do for us in the near future. And but that takes us to a perfect point in time, which is, what are your favorite use cases and applications of the technologies in marketing and SEO?
In marketing and SEO, that's a great question. One thing that I love is that with AI, it's much better and faster and easier to understand our audience. Who do we do marketing for? You know, if you don't know your audience, if you don't know what they like or dislike, if you don't know where they hang out, what ticks them, it's really hard to do marketing. And basically, AI is super useful to analyze customer feedback, for example, things like analyzing support tickets, analyzing sales conversations, analyzing responses to different types of surveys. AI is really good at pinpointing these insights that in the past, at least as marketers, we need to go through this data manually to try to find these patterns, what people like or dislike. And now AI can point that out like really fast and really quickly. Yeah, these are the top things that people like from these survey responses, or these are the top things or the top five pains customers or leads have mentioned in sales conversations with our team, or these are the top things mentioned in support tickets. So it's a really great way to better understand our audience and also to figure out what we need to do with our different marketing actions. So yeah, AI is really good at analyzing vast amounts of data super fast and super quickly. So we don't have to do that ourselves. Also, yeah, I'm really excited about those manual tasks or things that we need to pay attention that currently with the current state of AI, it's not necessarily needed. So for example, in related to content and content marketing, you know, for example, in my case, as you may notice, English is not my native language. I speak Spanish. So whenever I write something in English, I need to pay attention to grammar. I need to pay attention to clarity, to sentence structure, you know, in order to try to figure out if it makes sense, you know. But I consider myself a really good writer in the sense that I always know what I need to mention in a particular section or a particular paragraph. I know this is the idea I need to transmit and how I need to transmit it and what angle I should use and what piece of data I should mention. And so with AI, it's amazing because I can just pour whatever I have on my mind really fast and don't have to worry about grammar, don't have to worry about clarity. You know, I can just ask AI to rewrite whatever I have on my mind, and I just dump it there. I can ask the AI to make something coherent out of that, and that looks good. So yeah, that's use case that I really, really love.
That's awesome. Yeah, I imagine like the translation aspect is pretty important, especially like on the last episode, we were talking a lot about small and medium-sized businesses. The fact that they usually don't have access to lots of resources, being able to translate articles, translate concepts, even have chatbots that can communicate in multiple languages, this helps a great deal. And as you mentioned, like just even putting your own thoughts into perspective, copywriting is so key to the way that we communicate, especially in business, that it's, you know, any little help that we can get that takes us over, you know, like walls when we're stopped and we just don't understand how to be creative or to get over a specific impediment, AI can help us there. So it's really great to kind of hear those use cases. I do think that with, you know, knowledge and with that power, there's obviously a lot that we can continue to learn. I think everything in life is about learning and always about change. So are there any like educational resources or tools that you think would be great to mention to the audience, like, you know, things that they could take advantage of right now?
Yes. You know, it's incredibly excited that we live in a world where learning is basically free. You can learn any difficult concept or difficult area basically for free thanks to the internet. And there are many things that are great resources to start learning about AI, start honing your abilities with AIs, and, you know, to take advantage of these new type of products and this new technology to help us do better, basically. So yeah, one thing that I can suggest is Brittany Mueller's guide, Introduction to Large Language Model. This is a great guide targeted for marketers. Brittany does a great job explaining how large language model works, but she keeps it like non-technical enough so that anyone can understand. And it's a great resource for learning how LLMs works. Also, I can recommend a website that is called deeplearning.ai. It's co-founded by Andrew Enge. Andrew Enge is legendary AI researcher. Basically, he was co-founder and chief science officer at Google Brain, basically the AI division in Google. He also is co-founder of Coursera. He recently co-founded deeplearning.ai to share all kinds of courses and resources to learn things related to AI. So for example, they have this course given by Andrew Enge himself that is called Generative AI for Everyone. It's great because you have this legendary AI researcher that is also like the OG of AI educator, teaching these concepts related to generative AI himself, but is again targeted to non-technical people. So you don't need to know about how to code. You don't need to know about technical things on how AI works to do this course. So that's also a great resource. Third, there is a really great podcast that I like that is basically the Lex Friedman Show. Lex is an AI researcher. He worked for a long time in MIT researching AI, in particular computer vision. He has his podcast, I think, for more than 5 years now. He started the podcast as AI podcast, interviewing all kinds of interesting people in the space. So there are really interesting interviews with people like Ilya Sutskever, one of the co-founders of OpenAI. He's currently the chief science officer in OpenAI. Also, Andrej Karpathy. He was former head of AI at Tesla and also is a legendary AI researcher and AI educator. And also a third interview that I recommend from the Lex Friedman podcast is Jan LeCun, also a legendary AI researcher, and he's the chief AI scientist at Meta. And those three interviews are particularly great, you know, to start understanding how these world-class AI researchers think.
I really appreciate that because I was actually going to ask you about your favorite podcasts. So it's great that you brought that up as a resource, and in particular those episodes, because as you mentioned, if folks understand a little bit more about the people who are researching, the way that this has come about, and just their methodology, their thinking, it goes a long way. Now, maybe people don't have all that time. Believe it or not, there are these interesting applications of AI where I forgot the tool, but you can actually, and I might actually link it down under the video at some point. There's tools that will let you summarize the podcast. So you get the kind of the gist of what's happened in that podcast if you don't have time to listen to it all. But I'm sure that hearing from these big minds in AI will just open up worlds for you. And especially as a marketer, it's critical that we understand what's happening and what's changing. So really appreciate that, Federico. I guess switching gears here, let's talk a little bit about understanding the role of AI, specifically in SEO and content writing, because I think that's one of the best applications right now for us all to take advantage of. So as we kind of like start talking about that, maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you're working with it. And obviously you've had quite a bit of experience both on the SEO side and the AI side. So I want to just like open it up for you.
Well, yeah, with AI and SEO, it's all about, you know, going from zero to one faster. It's not that AI is here to replace us or to allow us to just sit back and do nothing. We can could automate our job completely. No, that's not the case. AI is just a tool that can help us do more and do it faster. And in particular, going from zero to one much faster. So for example, Microsoft recently released the result of a research that they did on how Microsoft Copilot in Windows 365 was used and how it impacted the work of people using Copilot in Windows. One of the findings that they found on this research was that more than 80% of the people claimed that they were able to create the first draft of a piece of content a lot faster, significantly faster. And that's amazing, you know? It's like when you first start working on a new piece for SEO, starting is always a pain, you know? It's always really hard. And with AI, we can do that much easier and faster. Also, as I mentioned before here, it's like with AI, it's all about spending less time on things that we don't like or things that require a lot of manual work. So for example, instead of spending a lot of time researching search intents, you can have the AI do that for you and share its findings. Also, again, you don't have to worry about spelling, about grammar. You can have AI do that for you. And yeah, and the way I see it is like as people working in SEO start using more AI tools as part of their toolkit, I think they will have more time to do things that not only they like more, but where they can add more value and where they can, you know, use their expertise to shine.
That sounds amazing. And I know you don't really want to talk right about WordCrafter, but I can say from this point of like having benefit from the AI experience of like creating outlines and understanding how to be competitive with a piece of content, because as you mentioned, there's a number of different ways you can go. You have to meet search intent, but on top of that, you also have to offer enough breadth of a topic to make the content valuable, or at least you have to deliver what the promise is of that particular search. So my experience with WordCrafter, and thank you for that, is that it's been extremely good at looking at how competitors fare in the space for a specific keyword or phrase, and then it kind of gives me a sense of where I need to go with my thinking and how I need to kind of build out a piece of content that's relevant and particular. Let's say, you know, it's particularly individually built around my audience. So I guess with that, I can kind of let you take it off and talk about like why WordCrafter has gone the way it's gone and why it's so good at kind of coming up with quality content for SEOs.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of things about SEO is writing the content that people need when they are searching for a particular keyword. And as I said, you know, AI is really good at analyzing vast amount of data really quickly. Data can do that in seconds, you know, things that can take humans minutes or even hours or days. You know, AI can process that information, analyze it, and get insights right away. So yeah, that's how I think WordCrafter can, you know, help people working in SEO, you know, try understand really quickly what are the main search intent for the target keyword, understand and identify what topics and subtopics you need to cover in your content. And also with WordCrafter, we are putting a lot of focus on creating a user interface where the focus is collaboration with AI for creating content. because in many cases, for ranking in SEO, you still need creating world-class content, in particular for really competitive keywords. And creating world-class content, it doesn't matter if it's generated by AI or a human. It's all about the value and expertise that it has. We believe that we should not rely on humans or AI, but we need to take advantage of the strengths of the two, because AI is really good at analyzing data really fast. AI is really decent at creating like first versions or first draft of things and writing these things down. But on the other hand, humans, we have the unique expertise, you know? We have the experience, the knowledge, the know-how. Also, humans, we have the unique perspective and the unique voice on things. So we put a lot of effort into creating a user interface where humans can collaborate with AI to take advantage of these things. So maybe you want to have the AI take the first stab at something and write the first draft, and then you can take a look and iterate it. You can do that with WorldCrafter. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe you want to just dump your thoughts on a particular subject that you are a domain expert and don't worry about grammar. You can do that and then have the AI rewrite that into something that looks really good. So we put a lot of time into a product that maximizes collaboration between humans and AI, again, to make world-class content faster.
Taking a step back, because I was fascinated by the tool itself, right? There's 1,000 other content writers, but there's a different approach to WordCrafter that I kind of really appreciated. But take me back, what was like the, how did you come up with the vision around this? And how did you kind of think about solving problems with this tool?
It all started about thinking about what problems I have in the past while I was working, for example, in the SEO. What were the challenges in there? Figuring out if there is an opportunity for AI to help in those tasks. You know, and once I was digging into these notes and these thoughts, you know, I realized that many of these challenges that I have personally in the past and that I really suffered in the past, by using AI, it can be less painful, even more enjoyable. So that it's how it started. Long term here, our vision is, I honestly believe it's all about collaboration. It's not just relying on AI on everything and you just sit back. It's all about the symbiosis of humans and AI. And I want to build a product that takes that to the core. Right now we are focusing on SEO and creating long form content. But as we mature the product and we grow and have more resources, our idea is to expand to adjacent spaces with that core concept of enabling collaboration between humans and AI.
All right. And with that, I know that there's been so much change and you're continuing to evolve the product with that change, especially in the industry of AI. It's the age of AI. But basically, as it continues to change day by day, week by week, and month by month, what do you think are the skills that you feel are most valuable for SEOs to pick up and to really get good at in order to be relevant and to upskill themselves?
That's the golden question. This answer may change in 1 month or in 1 year. You know, obviously, it will change depending on who you ask. But personally, I think that there are like four key things that we can do to take advantage of this basic revolution that is happening. I think, first of all, I think it's really important specializing in one niche, like become leading experts in a particular area. You know, that is more important than ever because AI is really good at understanding topics like in a superficial level, and we keep better at that. But AI still struggles and will struggle for a long time to understand really niche concepts that are either new or they are not as much information available or that are really complex and you need like deep thinking and deep reasoning to figure things out. So I think it's a way to differentiate ourselves and take advantage of the current situation is, yeah, to be really good and specialize in a really deep niche. A second thing that I think it's super important right now is like, right now, everyone can create content that looks decent. Mm. It's like, for example, if you go to LinkedIn, you know, you have a lot of people talking about the same thing in a similar way. So right now, I think it's super important to differentiate yourself is to have like unique voice, and a unique point of view, because now the value is not just creating content around a particular topic. Anyone can do that. It's all about having a unique voice, a unique perspective on things, a unique angle, a unique opinion. I also think it's super important to level up our editorial skills, like a movie director that figures out what scenes you need to include, what scenes you need to cut, what silences you add, or where you add the music. With content and marketing in general, the use of AI will push us, for us, instead of doing the manual work of writing every word in a piece of content, for example, we will take a step back. We'll play a role that is more related to like a supervisor or an editor, that can guide the AI towards a particular outcome, and towards the AI to generate a particular content that mentions this point of view or covers this topic or mentions this data. So I think more and more it will be super important, not the ability to write everything ourselves from scratch, but to have like that editorial mindset of what makes things a piece of content great. And lastly, I think it's key to take advantage of these AI tools and use them. You know, it's like we can save a lot of time by using AI to automate all kinds of things that we currently do day by day. So we can better use our time, either in focusing more on the things that we enjoy, focusing more on the things that we are good at, or that where we have a unique expertise or unique point of view. So definitely, it's super important to adopt these technologies and surf the wave.
Now, you brought me to a point in time where I'm like, okay, not to put you on the spot, but I'm very curious to get your take on like what's happening in the future in terms of like, by future, I probably mean 6 months in terms of SEO and AI, particularly as it goes with LLMs. I would love to get your take on what you see.
SEO will change dramatically because search generative experience from Google, SGE, is here to stay. And the same thing from ChatGPT is also here to stay. The way I see it is like, there is no doubt that traffic generated through SEO will decrease over time. In my mind, it's not that generative AI will eat our lunch completely, but we need to understand that the future is not a place where people just search for stuff to answer their questions, to find their information. We need to understand that the future is where in some situations, in certain cases, generative AI will do a better job at answering a query and providing the information that the user is looking for. But also, there are many other situations where, the traditional search, the 10 links, will still do a better job. And it all depends on the search query. So definitely, we will see a decrease in traffic generated from AI. But there is like an optimist in me, in the sense that maybe we will see, I don't know, nobody knows what will happen, but maybe we will see a decrease of 50% of the traffic that we get through SEO. Another way to see it is that maybe thanks to AI, doing good SEO will be like 50% more productive. Instead of doing everything from scratch and spending, I don't know how many hours researching, I don't know how many hours writing, editing content and producing content and launching it and distribute it, maybe we'll do it in like 50% faster. So the return on investment will be quite similar. We will see definitely a decrease in search volume, but also we will spend less time producing good SEO and producing results thanks to SEO.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. And I'm actually, it makes me think that maybe the type of work we're going to be doing is going to be closer to revenue generating than it is to informational, which is, again, much easier for AI to handle than the conversational part of things, right? The transactional part of things. But, who knows? We're kind of watching that. And I think we'll have to watch you to see also what's changing, because you're at the forefront of that. But I wanted to thank you, Federico, for so much for chatting today, and kind of more importantly, uncovering a lot of these key aspects and information and methodologies and ways that we could apply AI today for this audience. And, before we sign off, I would love to kind of get an idea of maybe how folks can get in touch with you or can start using WordCrafter AI or learn more about you or follow you.
Yeah. Thanks. It was a great conversation. Thanks for having me. Yeah, for reaching me out, I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. Just search for Federico Pascual. You can find me there. I'm happy to chat and have a conversation for WordCrafter. Yeah, it will be great if your audience can go to wordcrafter.ai and request an invite there. And I'm happy to give access to the platform so they can give it a try.
And I have to recommend it because I've loved it so far. I think it's one of the best quality tools around building content for SEO that I've used so far. And Federico is amazingly, you know, like on top of things. And if there's anything weird, he comes and he addresses it. And the platform has just been getting better and better every day. So appreciate it, Federico. Thank you for your time. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with WordCrafter in the upcoming months.
Thanks, Felipe.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Phraseology Plus AI. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it. Don't forget to sign up for our email list at phraseological.us. Give us a raving 5-star review anywhere you get your podcast. Thanks in advance. Remember, stay curious, stay informed, and keep listening for more. Until next time, take care and happy listening.